Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed, got your feet on the floor, and are getting ready to venture out back and fire up a grill or a smoker. And we're probably going to hit the smoker a little harder than the grill today because we're featuring one of the toughest cuts on the cow, but one of the best cuts if you know how to do it right. What are you thinking about that, Bob?
Hey, yeah, welcome back. Thanks, Jop. The first brisket I did, I tried grilling it way back when.
Right.
It was an ugly scene. It was before YouTube, and let's just say it was a waste of protein. But right. The dog liked it.
Right. Yeah, well, that's Zeus, man. He'll eat it. You probably was. This was pre-Zeus, I bet, huh?
So I'm going to tee up Chef Schultz here. He is an old family friend. He actually coached my son Alex in soccer for, goodness sakes, I'm going to say 8 years. And our families have been very, very close for a long time. We raised our kids together. And I'll say it before he gets a chance to cut me off. He's just a terribly nice guy. Right. And his wife, Deb, is still with him for some unknown reason.
Right.
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Hey, Chef Schultz, welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Well, thank you. Hello, gentlemen.
Holy cow, you sure you got the right number? There's no gentleman here.
That's for sure. I should have caught myself.
So, preparing brisket. We want to break down in the hour all the different steps to helping people succeed better with brisket. So, lots of little tips and techniques, but I think a good place to start is maybe preparing a brisket.
Correct. Absolutely. And a brisket is a little bit of a challenge because a lot of people, when they prepare a brisket, they don't trim it before they put a rub on it and put it on the grill. And that's kind of one of the biggest things that I see that a lot of people do with a brisket is not to trim it. And the challenge with a brisket is you got to realize that you're going to get about a 42% loss on a brisket, which is kind of hard to swallow when you look at this beautiful, expensive piece of meat. But with depending on that fat cap on it, you really need to trim it to about a quarter to an eighth of an inch, more of an eighth of an inch, before you put a rub on it and start to smoke it and cook it.
And in your opinion, why do you trim that fat cap?
Because if you don't, so when you put a rub in it, that rub will not penetrate to the meat. And you need that rub mix to help season the meat and give it flavor. Otherwise, it's just not penetrating through the fat. Now, some fat definitely is good when you cook it, but it's just, you know, you're almost kind of like steaming it. You're not actually cooking it because it's just encased with that fat, which if you want to put a rub on and give it a nice flavor, it's just not penetrating to the meat.
Okay, Chef Schultz, let's step back just a second. Where does this cut of meat come from on the animal, and why is it so tough?
Definitely it is tough because it is part of the muscle that the movement of the animal is being, the muscles are being moved. So certain parts of the cow, like a tenderloin, it's kind of like protected and not being moved. So then you get a nice flavorful piece of meat or tender. With a brisket, it is
right up on the chest.
Correct. Yeah. So the chest muscles, it is definitely being moved. So then the muscles are being tighter. Or is definitely tighter, or though it's a little bit tougher. So you got to, you know, put a rub on it. You know, cook it for a period of time versus like a tenderloin where you can kind of grill it and let it go.
So in other words, when that bull charges you, the brisket's doing a lot of the work.
It's coming at you first. Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
You're not on the tenderloin end. You're on the business end.
The times I've been charged, I only noticed the horns. I didn't notice the brisket.
That was what hit you in the chest after he ran you over. Right?
Never got hit.
Yeah. But anyway, so.
And no, I wasn't a rodeo clown.
Right. So Chef Schultz, there's a row of fat that goes down into the brisket as well. It's just not a cap on top. And I've watched Barbecue Bob trim several briskets, and he always digs down in and gets it. It's almost like a triangular piece of of fat. How much of that do you need to take out of there?
Again, quite a bit. It's usually about 30%. I mean, the brisket's right underneath the chuck, and you know, that movement, you got to get rid of that fat, otherwise it just is too much when you're starting to cook it. So I pretty much plan on about a 40% loss when I get a brisket in and start trimming it. When you take the whole brisket in and I weigh it, and I do this exercise with my students, and I trim it, and then I weigh it again, you know, you can save the fat and render the fat and use it for something else, but when you're cooking it, otherwise we've done a comparison by not trimming the brisket versus trimming it, and it's night and day. Because a lot of times, so that's what I try to do with my students is do a side-by-side comparison.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we are talking with Chef Bob Schultz from the Culinary School, Sekia Culinary Institute here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And if you want to see his picture, you can pull up an old copy of Playgirl. I think he was one of the models for Playgirl at one time.
Making a lot of money there.
Not sure. So what
talking
Jop
about tough beef, are we? Yeah.
So what Jop was talking about was really the decal, or the point.
Yes.
So between the flat and the decal, there are two actually large veins, and there's a continuous vein between them. What a lot of competition guys do now, and what I did accidentally, like the first time I discovered you could do this, was I dug so much of that binding fat out of there that the decal actually detached from the flat. And so I had to smoke it in two pieces, and I found that it turned out to be one of the best briskets I ever made. So what a lot of competition guys do now is they'll separate them, rub them separately, smoke them separately, and then when they go to do their wrap, they'll bind them back together, wrap them, and then finish it combined. So they sort of meld together again, and that seems to be like the money cut right there.
Yes, and when they separate them, and those who don't separate it, you got to understand then when you start slicing it that you have to change your angle of your knife to go against the grain. By removing it, you know, because of the two muscles are right there, a grain of the muscle is going one way, and then when you get to the top of it, it's going a totally different way. So definitely removing it is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Why is it important to slice one way versus the other?
Just for the tenderness. If you're going with a grain, it's going to get more of like a stringy type of texture with the grain, and if you're cutting against the grain, you're going to have that fat, that can nice fat marbling through that, that's going to actually help tenderize the meat. You know, fat is good. Fat is flavor when it comes to meat. But slicing against it, the grain is going to give it a nice, more tender mouthfeel with it.
So that is, and if you're looking at it, you can clearly see which way the grain is running. And the grain is going to be like a striping, if you will, that'll show where the fibers are going.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Bob, well, I'd like to, before we run out of time here, talk real quickly about ratios of your rub. What would you recommend for the perfect ratio mixture if you're making your own rub?
Thank you. Yep. I would use a 45% salt, 15% sugar, and then I use like a 10% garlic, onion powder, paprika. And then from there, you can add whatever spices you want on top of that. So when you add those three numbers up, you have 70%. So 70% of your rub is going to be salt, sugar, garlic, onion powder, and paprika. And then the other 30% is what else you like to put in there. You know,
aromatics.
I like aromatics, yeah. I like the cumin. I love the coriander. I like the cloves. Definitely like sage. I definitely like
thyme.
Thyme and basil and stuff like that. But usually that's kind of the foundation of a lot of rubs is you need that salt. To help break down that and penetrate through the meat to help tenderize it. But then the sugar kind of helps, you know, crystallizations in the meat and to give it a nice flavor as well, too. And then you can play with different sugars combinations, and you can play with different salt combinations, too, as far as I usually always use kosher salt, but you know, some other people like other types of salt as well.
Well, buddy, we are out of time. It was great to see you when you stopped by this week. And
yeah, it was good seeing you too.
We'll have to make sure we do that again soon. And again, thanks so much for imparting your vast wisdom upon our audience.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's good talking to you.
Okay.
Boy, we didn't even scratch the surface with Chef Schultz, man. That guy is a knowledgeable dude. But coming up next, we've got another really smart guy, a guy named Ron Homan from R&J's Best Choice Market. You're not going to want to miss this. This is the butcher's perspective on a brisket. Stick with us. We'll be back. Over my head, the woman I love.